We're done. Well, let's not say we're done. We're done with the show.
We're taking a break for several days until we come back next time.
But the general manager does want to talk to us after this.
Shut the door.
A raise. Thanks so much for listening. No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight
in my tea. No sugar to stand. Contributors to WGTD include the Metropolitan Opera, whose next high-definition simulcast is this Saturday at 12 noon, Puccini's beloved La Boheme, at Racine's Renaissance Theater in Kenosha's Tinseltown. More information available at metopera.org.
Support comes from Andrea and Orendorf Certified Public Accountants, welcoming new small business and individual clients, providing a full scope of small business services, tax planning, and preparation for every type of business and personal entity. A&O welcomes Spanish-speaking clients. Visit AOCPA.net.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, join the Racine Art Museum's 9th Annual Peeps Art Competition. Entry is free and open to the public. For more information, visit ramart.org. Entries must be dropped off between Thursday, March 1st and Sunday, March 11th.
Support for WGTD comes from Carthage College, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. More information is available online at carthage.edu/grad.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. As a KUSD parent of a band member, I have attended 4 Bandorama concerts, each one amazing me in its scope and size. Last March, I attended Orchestra Festival for the first time, and though it was similar in size and scope to Bandorama, I was struck by the difference in tone. The vast sweep of the orchestras playing in the Indian Trail High School Fieldhouse reminded me of cinematic music. I wasn't so interested in standing up and marching, but more interested in swaying to the musical waves. So I wanted to ask guests here today about Orchestra Festival. What is it? How and when did it start? What does it mean in the lives of student musicians, teacher conductors, and the community at large? So please stay with us for today's program to learn more about Orchestra Festival in the Kenosha Unified School District, to hear some highlights from last year, and a preview of this year, which will take place Saturday, March 3rd at the Indian Trail Fieldhouse in Kenosha. Our guest today, we actually have 2 shifts of guests, but the one who will be here the whole time is Scott Plank. He is in his 5th year serving as coordinator of fine arts for the Kenosha Unified School District. Mr. Plank's previous experience includes 20 years as a high school band director and a year as a middle school assistant principal, and I've seen him play in the faculty jazz band at Jazz Festival. Welcome, Scott.
Well, thank you, Karen.
What's your instrument?
My instrument is trumpet.
Yes, there's a lot of trombone players in that group.
Yeah, we do have quite a few trombone players on the band staff, right, for sure.
And along with us right now for the first shift are all from Harborside Academy. The first is Dr. Wells. He is orchestra conductor at Harborside, but he actually retired as fine arts coordinator for Kenosha Unified School District, and before that was orchestra conductor at Tremper, Lance, and Washington.
And a few elementary schools, too.
How many years total?
Too many. No. This is like my first year. I'd never count them up. But I started in 79.
And you were an orchestra student in the district as
well? I also went to Lincoln Junior High and Tremper High School.
So you've played in orchestra fests?
Yes.
Festivals, sorry. How many total do you think over the years?
46.
Oh, my goodness.
It would have been 50, but I left for 4 years for college.
Okay, well, that's amazing.
And considering that this is the 56th annual Orchestra Festival, that is pretty impressive.
That might be the record in the city right now. Along with him are 2 Harborside students. Osniv Kaligian. She is a senior violinist, and she is still making plans for her future, but one of them is potentially Northwestern University in Illinois, Northeastern University in Massachusetts, or UW-Madison. So I'm sure they're all battling over you. Welcome, Osniv.
Thank you. Really excited to be here.
And then we also have Lauren Mossman. She is a senior cellist at Harborside Academy and is currently also deciding between colleges, which might be St. Olaf College in Minnesota or Pacific Lutheran in Seattle?
Tacoma, Washington.
Tacoma, Washington. Close. So here we are. Tell me all about this. First, I want to ask Scott if you could just give us details about this year's orchestra festival. When, where, how can listeners buy tickets? Is there another way to see it if they can't buy, be there, or the tickets sell out, that sort of thing?
Sure. So this year's festival is, you had mentioned Saturday night, the 3rd. And so, yes, we do have a performance then. We also have a performance on Sunday, the 4th, at 1:30 p.m. And tickets for both of those performances are available on the KUSD website. If you go to kusd.edu/finearts, you can purchase tickets there. We would caution people to please look carefully at which tickets you're buying, because we do offer both tickets for the live venue in the field house as well as remote viewing in our auditorium. Mm-hmm. And the remote viewing is it's in HD. It's a three-camera feed, full stereo. It's a wonderful option if you want to choose maybe some more comfortable seats than the bleachers. And we also will have the shows streamed live through our KUSD YouTube channel. And also on Channel 20. So plenty of opportunity to take in the event.
Right. So that reminds me. So then I can stream it if I can't make it this year. But relatives who might live far away can also watch Orchestra Festival on their computers, right? That's kind of a miracle of modern technology. So we have Dr. Wells here, and we now know that he has participated in over 40 orchestra festivals. So can you tell us a little bit more about the history of Orchestra Festival? You know, when and how did it start? Do you remember that? Or were you
I don't remember. I don't remember when it started. But you said it was the 56th year.
This is 56.
I have a picture of Orchestra Festival when it was at the current Harborside Ruther Gym. And then from there it went and was at Tremper for many years until it finally moved to the Bradford Fieldhouse. And then from there it moved to Indian Trail. Mm-hmm. So it's been an exciting venture. It's pretty hard to imagine looking at the Harborside or Ruther Gymnasium and that you would have had both Bandorama and Orchestra Festival in that little, what is now a little gymnasium. So it's really grown. But then Kenosha has grown.
Right. So I know that Bandorama is pretty unique in its size. I don't know if Orchestra Festival compares. Does anyone else do a festival this large that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. And, you know, honestly, every year when we have our guest conductors come, many of them will say, well, I've done festivals. I've done these big festivals before. And then they come and they do our festival. And in the end, they say, oh, I've never done anything quite like this before. I mean, just the sheer scope of these events is beyond, I think, what I'm aware of anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, back when this event started, we were essentially a one high school town, and now we've grown to three comprehensive high schools plus academies. So the scope of the event has just continued to grow with it, and it really is, as far as I know, unique.
Well, let's give our audience a little bit of a taste of this. This is actually from last year's orchestra festival. The title of this piece is España Caní. Maybe our students can tell us a little. Do you remember performing this? Do you know anything about this song?
Yeah, this is kind of a Spanish-style song, so it's really exciting. It kind of reminds me of, well, I think this opened last year's Orchestra mm-hmm. Fest, right, Lauren? Mm-hmm. And it's definitely an opener. It sounds like a big festival is about to start.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, that was beautiful. Do you remember playing that last
yes,
year?
Yes, I love the ending. It's so much fun when the last note's off and you're like, oh, yes, we've started Orchestra Fest. Yes, here we go.
Yes, that was, it was very inspiring. It does, I mean, so maybe the audience can hear what I meant about it sounding cinematic. You sort of feel like this is, some big thing is about to happen after you hear that. So it was really, really lovely. So that, you said, was the combined high school and middle school orchestra. So about, what, 1,000 pieces maybe?
Probably pretty close, especially if you add the winds and percussion in.
Definitely.
Right. So that is a lot of people to be playing the same thing at the same time.
And to end at the same time.
Perfectly. The feat. That's always a good thing.
Yes, exactly.
So part in addition to all the middle and high school students, you have the beginners, the fourth and fifth graders in the festival. The two students are smiling about that. Do you remember being fourth and fifth graders?
Oh, definitely. I remember when I was a beginner and I was playing Allegro, and then I'd sit there and wait for a bit, and I'd look over and see the high schoolers playing, and I was like flabbergasted that all of their bows were moving in the same direction. Like, that was crazy to me. And I was like, wow, they're so good. They're like professionals. Mm-hmm. And now, like, here I am. And it's just crazy seeing how far we've come.
I wonder if that is one of the sort of unique things about this festival, that the youngest players are included. Mm-hmm. Is that
100%?
Unusual? I think that that's one of the most powerful things about
it
this
is.
Festival, because being a new player and being in that environment and seeing that and seeing these you know, adults playing this music that, you know, is right now not even within your grasp, it's really motivating. I think, too, the same thing in looking back at and being able to, as a high school student, look at, hey, I started there and it wasn't that many years ago. I mean, you know, really in the scope of 7 or 8 years, it's pretty amazing what transpires.
Well, one thing that I noticed that was really different from Bandarama, and I have a friend who has two children that are 2 years apart. So in the 2 years ago, she attended Bandarama with her beginner band student who is a fifth grader. That's when they start. And then the next year, she attended the orchestra festival with her fourth grader. And I was at both of these also. And we both were walking out. We said, how come the fourth and fifth graders sound so much better in orchestra than the fifth graders in band? And I don't know if you guys can explain that to me, because I wouldn't have expected. I would have thought, you know, everyone that's a beginner is struggling, but
it's just different instruments.
Breath control is just more challenging at first.
Each of the instruments has their own peculiarities or their unique areas of difficulty. Mm-hmm. So it just depends.
Right. And, of course, you rely on those wind players eventually, right? So I'm curious about when the winds and percussion gets added to orchestra. I assume when you're in elementary school, you're just only the strings, right? So do you have winds with you in middle school or not?
Yeah, really, high school is when the winds and brass get added. And so most kids don't get a chance to play with the winds, brass, and percussion until really their freshman year of high school. So I think, again, with the whole looking back and seeing where you started, it's definitely cool as one of the younger students to see, wow, you know, look at all the instruments coming together in one. You know, in middle school and elementary school, it's purely strings. So then when that element of winds and brass is added in high school, it's definitely something big and interesting to look forward to.
So I was going to ask you if you had heard of Orchestra Festival before you came here to teach, Dr. Wells, but now I know that you were in it. So is this something that's well known around the state? I mean, when you went to college for music education, did you tell everyone about this big festival? Or?
I think a lot of the universities in Wisconsin know about Kenosha and its strong music history, if you will. So, yes, I think most of the universities in the state of Wisconsin and even northeastern Illinois are very familiar with the strong program that Kenosha's had over a long tenure of time.
Okay. So, students, I wanted to ask you what it has meant to you to participate in Orchestra Festival. Do you remember your first one? And what is it going to be like to do this last one, do you think?
I think it being the last one is going to be very sad, because by now you start having friends from all these different high schools, and it's kind of your last big performance together, and I think that's going to really mean something for all of us.
Definitely. I think in a lot of things, well, you know, high schools compete against each other for sports and, you know, academics and those kind of things, and even music. But at Orchestra Fest, we're not competing. We're all together. And I think that's definitely something really special that we get to be a part of. Yeah.
That's fine. And so, what do you think has been the best part of being a member of the KUSD Orchestra Program for, is this 8 years for you or nine?
Going on nine.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
so
my gosh, that's crazy.
Can you remember some special events or, you know, special things that have happened over the years at a concert or solo ensemble or traveling? I don't know.
Well, one thing that I thought was really cute that recently happened, I ran into a fourth grader who also had a violin case with her, and I had my violin case with me, and she says, oh, is that a violin? And I said, well, yes. And she says, I play violin too. So I asked her what her favorite songs were, and so she says, well, Ode to Joy, Allegro, and The Devil Went Down to Georgia, because that's one of the pieces that's our finale for this year's Orchestra Fest. So I said, well, I'm playing The Devil Went Down to Georgia too, and she thought that was so cool. So she says, I'm a beginner, what level are you? And so in Orchestra Fest, you cycle through kind of the levels. You start at a beginner, you move on to cadet, and then advanced cadet, and then middle school orchestras combined, and then combined high school concert and combined high school symphonic. And so I kind of tried to explain that to her, but I said, well, I'm in the highest one. I'm in, you know, high school symphonic. And she says, she looks up at me and she says, wow, that's like expert. And so it was so cute.
Okay, and Lauren?
I definitely think that one of my newest favorite memories of orchestra was when my trio and I, which is Osniv Kaligian and Vanessa Chapa, we were going out to a nursing home, and we were playing for this older woman, and she was from Poland, and she was asking us if we had any Polish Christmas music. And we happened to have one that said, like, arranged by a Polish composer, and we were like, oh, perfect. So we played it for her, and she was, like, swaying around with the music, and you could just see that, like, it connected with her, and, like, it really went through, and she remembered it from her childhood, and it was just so impactful to see, like, what our music was able to do. It was amazing.
Wow. That's great. Those are really wonderful stories. You sort of illustrated why this is such an important program for you, but for the community also. You know, you're having an influence on younger and older people, so well done. So we are going to listen to a piece called Boogie in the Straw, and I'm going to ask you about that in a minute. But when we come back, we're going to have a different orchestra conductor and two different students. So I wanted to say thank you to Osniv Kaligian and Lauren Mossman and Dr. Wells for being here for the first half of our program. So tell me, somebody, a little bit about Boogie in the Straw. I thought it was sort of fun when I listened to it in preparation for this.
Well, we definitely try to look for pieces, especially for our middle level groups that are interesting and, you know, and are catchy, and we'll have something that will, you know, potentially connect with our audience. So I think that this is just a fun piece.
So you'll recognize some themes, audience, and there'll be a little bit of a twist on those themes.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I just want to remind our listeners that we are discussing the Kenosha Unified School District's annual orchestra festival concert with Fine Arts Coordinator Scott Plank. And we took a moment to switch to our orchestra festival Team 2, which is from Bradford High School and is made up of orchestra conductor Heather Kamikawa, who has been at Bradford for 5 years. Is that correct? And then before that, 6 years at Bullen for a total of 11 years with KUSD. But this is her 19th orchestra festival because Heather was also a student here. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, welcome. We also have two more students. We have Lauren Humphrey, who is a violin player, a senior, who is headed to UW Parkside next fall, probably studying psychology, but keeping her options open. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you.
And we also have Naila Ali, who is from Bradford High School also. She's a violinist, a senior, and making her choice between Carthage or UW-Madison. And you actually intend to pursue music as a career.
Yes, yes, I do.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so we just heard a selection from the middle school orchestra. So, and I asked the other students that were here about their memories of being an orchestra festival. Can you tell us a little bit about your experiences with orchestra festival? Is this your 9th year?
Yes.
It is.
Orchestra Fest, I really, really love it just because, I mean, like, we have, like, all kinds of players just, like, coming together to just play music. And it's so nice to just hear all of the different songs that all of the schools play and stuff. Yeah.
How about you, Lauren?
I just really love Orchestra Fest because everyone comes together, as well as the music is always so beautiful, and it's really cool to hear everyone play together.
What is it like to hear those fourth and fifth graders?
It just, like, brings me back to when I was that age and, like, playing those songs. And I'm like, oh, I kind of miss it because, like, that was, like, a very stress-free time. But I'm glad that I've, like, grown up to this kind of player that I am today. So,
great. Scott, can you tell us a little about the guest conductors? Was that always part of the program? How are they chosen? How long do they visit? What do they do when they're here? Who's our guest conductor this year?
Well, our guest conductor this year is composer Kurt Mosier, and we're going to be doing a number of pieces that he's either written or arranged. And each year we kind of have a conversation as a department about possibly who some of our teachers have seen when they've gone to conferences and been elsewhere, and who might fit the bill for somebody who would be flexible enough to work with everyone from, you know, the middle schools on up through high schools. And so most of the time it's usually someone who is either at a university and is a director at a university, or someone who's got some public school experience. Maybe, like this year, our director has numerous years building public school programs as well as composing for orchestra. So as far as I know, there's always been a guest conductor. So maybe Heather could talk a little bit about that and her experiences.
Sure. Looking back at the historical repertoire, the directors every year, we try to plan 1 to 2 years in advance of literature we're looking at and possible guest conductors we want to ask. In the beginning, I know when Mr. Stan Nozel kind of started Orchestra Festival, he was the main conductor, as far as I'm aware of. I can't speak to it much. I'm definitely a North Sider. But when there was that one high school in Kenosha High School, I guess the first Orchestra Fest was held in what is now the Ruther Harborside Gym. So imagine the size difference from Indian Trails Fieldhouse to the tiny gym at Ruther Harborside. Kind of cool to think about. The whole guest conductor thing morphed into getting more people to come to Kenosha and just getting our students top-of-the-line educators to work with.
And you said something about how you select the music in advance. So how do you select it? You know, what is the process that you use to choose pieces?
We look at the WSMA, so Wisconsin Schools of Music, list that we use for all of our planning here in the state as far as if we're going to be adjudicated for a performance. And then we also go to conferences and we meet with composers. Like, we're playing a piece by Soonhee Newbold. I've actually worked with her before. Mm-hmm. And then we all pool our knowledge and our background together as a staff and reach out to these people that we've loved working with at different conferences around the nation and sometimes the world.
So what are we going to hear this year? Would the students like to answer, Lauren or Naima?
Sure. So we're playing The Devil Went Down to Georgia, which is my personal favorite. It's a very, like, it's kind of like country, but I think it was, like, originally written in the 70s, which
an
is...
an American fiddle classic by the Charlie Daniels Band,
yeah,
right?
So that's cool. I'm playing a song called Polovetsian Dances, which is this, like, very... what's the word I'm looking for? Like, very, like, broad and just beautiful Russian nationalist piece.
By Baroda.
Yeah. I can't think of any others. Like, blanking.
Lauren, do you have? Can you think of something?
What about our opener, Lauren?
There you go.
With the choir. O Fortuna.
Yeah. It's that piece is really fun. It's very fast-paced, and it's going to be cool to have singers there this year.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a fun experience to be able to play with more people.
Right. So maybe, Scott, can you say a little bit more about that? It might be something that some of our listeners are familiar with.
Oh, sure. So it's a piece from a larger work called Carmina Burana, and it's the first movement, I believe, and it's O Fortuna, and... if you look this up, if you Google it, there's plenty of YouTube examples that are pretty impressive. I think we're gonna have a pretty impressive show with that too, because once we add, I mean, we'll have the orchestra, we'll have the winds and percussion, and we'll have nearly 300 singers on the floor as well joining us. So it's going to be, I don't know, it'll be a big moment. I don't know if there's been anything like that done in the past.
I think this is the first year, and we're in 56 or 58.
This is 56.
Our 56th Orchestra Festival. This will be the first time we've had full choir. So all high school's top choirs are doing the national anthem with us and going straight into the opener of O Fortuna from Carmina Burana.
And, logistically, it's been interesting because we are going to have the choirs, with the exception of Indian Trail, the other choirs are going to meet at the district offices and then get bussed over because we've got so many people that we were concerned about parking and how mm-hmm. that was all going to work. So they're going to get bussed over. They're going to do the opener, O Fortuna. They're also going to sing the Star Spangled Banner with us, and then they'll all exit out, and the rest of it will be just pure orchestra. But it's going to be pretty cool.
That sounds very interesting. So how long does it take to prepare and set up for this big day? You know, you're doing this in the field house at Indian Trail, so obviously that takes some time to set up, right?
We get student setup crews, and typically that's high school students. So Indian Trail helps a ton, especially Mr. Kevin Stewart and his orchestras, because they host. But Friday, as long as there isn't conflict with athletic events, we're able to set up that evening or even afternoon. And facilities at KUSD helps us with trucks. We all take our equipment and our instruments to Indian Trail, and I know Scott could speak more to that.
Yeah, we have our warehouse department helps us out in doing pickups from all of the different schools, middle schools and high schools, so that all the equipment, stands, the big instruments, basses and cellos, and tubas, timpani, all of that kind of stuff all gets shipped over. And it's kind of that afternoon is all hands on deck to get everything there and to get everything set up. But you know, we always have so many people who are willing to come and help out with it that really, I mean, it's just amazing to watch it all unfold, because it truly is like I don't know, this kind of synergistic environment where it's like everybody knows what needs to be done and just boom, stuff happens. And a few hours later, you're looking at it going, wow, we've got this huge complex setup and it's all there and ready for the performance.
It is pretty amazing to walk into that gym and just see the number of seats and music stands and then all of the percussion equipment. It's pretty stunning, actually. So probably not that often will you see it. Probably never again in your careers, most likely, because
Unless you come back to Kenosha.
Right. I mean, this is a very large orchestra, so you're just not going to see that very often.
There's not, you know, we're a big school district. Sometimes people say we're the biggest little school district that you'll ever see, and I really don't think that there is any other district of this size or bigger that's doing any events like this. I mean, it's logistically, it is really, it's a pretty tall order what we do, and that, you know, not saying that it's not worth it, because it's tremendously valuable. So it truly is. All three of the events, Bandorama, Choral Festival, and Orchestra Festival, are, I think, really quite unique to Kenosha.
Right. So our listeners really are interested in hearing stories coming out of our schools and our school programs. So I wonder if you, Lauren and Naila, have a story to share either about Orchestra Festival or some other event related to your musical career in school.
So one that just like pops in my brain is one time during Orchestra Fest. It was my, I think, eighth grade year, and we were playing the song. It was the Red Poppy Dance, the like sailor dance. And so
Russian Sailor's Dance?
Yes, Russian Sailor's Dance. And there was a part where just the lower strings were playing, so just like basses and then cellos, but like they had like gotten like really really off from the conductor, and then like the violins, we were all just like looking around, we're like, oh, what's going on? But yeah, that's just kind of a funny story that happened. Yeah.
And it all worked out in the end, correct?
Yes.
The cardinal rule, no matter what, watch the
conductor.
There we go.
Yeah.
How about you, Lauren?
I think one experience from orchestra, just in general, that I'm always going to remember is when we went to Camp Timberley in middle school, and we would just have hours of just working with these amazing clinicians that just, I felt like I learned so much from them. Even though I was just working on Orchestra Fest music, I still learned so many more skills than just that music.
That sounds amazing. So you, Naila, are planning to major in violin performance.
Yes.
So what is your goal ultimately?
So I want to be able to say to people that I am a professional violinist. Like, I just think like that would be so just cool. And then like to be able to play in different like ensembles, like for film scores or just like different orchestras, orchestra pits too. Like, mm-hmm. That would be something that I'd like to do.
So a working musician is your goal.
Yeah,
that sounds really interesting. And Lauren, I don't think you're planning to do a major in music, but are you planning to play, or are you not sure?
I'm actually currently thinking about joining the Parkside Community Orchestra. I feel like even though I'm not going to be going into music, it'll still be a nice extracurricular activity that I can use to take my mind off of things.
Heather, do you find that a lot of your students continue to play even if they don't make it their career?
So far, yes. So a lot of times what I tell students is you don't choose your instrument, it chooses you. Mm-hmm. And it's such a good stress reliever, especially during finals time. And there's money out there to play in many, I know, UW symphonies as a non-major. Mm-hmm. So you can pay for some books by doing what you love. And it's just a different way to use your mind that's still very academic. Mm-hmm. But you're in a beautiful surrounding, and it's a safe place for everyone. It's just a great place to be when you're in an ensemble in college.
And, you know, going to college and getting involved in music, you're already a part of a huge fraternity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go and other people have had very similar experiences to you, and that helps to connect people, helps you to not feel, you know, especially as a freshman on maybe a bigger campus, you've got a core group of friends kind of waiting and ready for you to be there. So it's that makes it a little bit unique as well.
Right. There's a sort of a camaraderie in being a musician.
Yes.
Right. And you can always join another ensemble of some kind. Well, that's really a great way to think about it. We're going to hear one more piece before we say goodbye. So any of you are welcome to tell us a little bit about what it was like to play or be there for Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, okay. Phantom. Oh, gosh. That song was so good because, like, we had a drum set with us, which was so amazing. I love, 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 love drum set. And so, like, that just, like, made it, like, I remember when I was playing, I was kind of like headbanging to like to the song because I was like, oh, this drum set sounds so good. And then like we're playing all of these like cool like really really fast 16th note passages and stuff. So yeah, that was really fun.
What do you think, Laura?
That was my favorite piece of the year. It was amazing. It just sounded so full and it was really cool.
Okay, so let's hear a little bit of it. That was the 2017 Kenosha Unified School District Orchestra Festival Combined Orchestra playing Phantom of the Opera, which was lovely. I want to ask Heather Kamikawa to tell us a little bit more about the history of this event. You said there are five generations of...
Yes, there are five generations of teachers
that attend Orchestra Fest still regularly. Everything started with Mr. Stan Nozel. I'm not going to go into too much detail. I'm definitely a Bradford kid, not a Tremper kid. There's so much history at Tremper. It's amazing. But during the Ralph Houghton era, Stan Nozel was brought to Kenosha to teach strings, and he was the founder of Orchestra Festival. And he still attends every Orchestra Festival that he can. And he has taught teachers that are still here. Our students work in that next generation, the third generation. The fourth generation would be me, and some of my former students from Bullen are almost finished with their degrees in music education. Wonderful. And they all help out with the beginners in tune, even if they don't have their teaching license yet, which is amazing.
And real quickly, Ralph Houghton, he was originally the coordinator of music for the district and ended up, he founded Bandorama, and it was because of him that these other festivals started. Then he was also a principal and ended up being assistant superintendent for the district. So
tell us once again how we can see this year's Orchestra Festival.
Lots of ways. You can buy tickets on the KUSD website, kusd.edu/fine arts. You can see the live performance in the field house, or you can buy tickets to view it remotely in the auditorium. And if you want to view it from home, our YouTube channel will be streaming it live, and you can also see it on Channel 20.
And that's March 3rd at 6:30?
March 3rd, 6:30 p.m., and March 4th at 1:30 p.m. So two performances to choose from.